Good morning, Lighthouse family. We want to welcome you all this morning. It's so good to see you. I love the fellowship that's happening right now. And that is something, if you're watching online, that you're missing. So we encourage you, if you're able to get to the house of God, get to the house of God. Because God's people love each other. Amen? All right, I have a lot of announcements this morning. So if you have calendars, you might want to go ahead and add it in. Or if you have a piece of paper, write down the things that you need to be a part of. We will have this all on our website at least by the end of the week. A few things are there now, but not everything, because we have a lot going on. And that is the sign of a healthy church. So the first thing is all of you kids, eyes on me. I know you all love to play your video games and talk, but I need attention for a minute. We have Talent Expo coming up in March, and that is for you guys. That's ages 4 up through age 19. And Talent Expo is a place where you can minister. Everyone say minister. It is a competition, but we don't care about the competition part. We care about the ministry part. And so you can minister with whatever gift God has given you, whether it's singing, writing, drawing, doing human videos and theatrical and comedy. There are so many categories, instrumentals. So we expect, everyone say expect, all of you young people to take part in something, because God has gifted you and you need to use your gifts for God. And this year we are blessed. This is a statewide event. It is being held in our town. So everyone mark the dates. It's the last Saturday in March. And adults, we would love for all of you to go and support not just our youth, but the youth across the state who are using their gifts for God. So that being said, our primary and junior ages, that's ages 4 to 12, your youth pastors are having practices starting this Tuesday. It will be every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I think they're probably going to plan some kind of group activity you guys can do. So if you don't know what to do, just come. They'll figure it out with you. And they'll take care of that. So if you do know what to do, bring your idea, bring your song, whatever you want to do. So that's every Tuesday, 6 to 8. Teenagers, if you want to participate, talk to your youth pastors. They will help you. They will work with you, but you're a little bit older, so you should be able to figure some things out on your own as well. And then I want to remind you all, every Wednesday, we have family night. If you have been not being here on Wednesdays, you are really, really missing out. So adults, we have a wonderful Bible study out here. It's a time to ask questions, to share your wisdom, what God has shown you, so others can learn. And we have a great Bible study on Wednesday nights. Our teenagers have a worship service that has been phenomenal. So if you have a teenager, get them here. If you have to bribe them, take them out for ice cream afterwards. Whatever it takes, get them to the house of God, because they can be changed forever. We had people saved last Wednesday, people filled with the Holy Ghost last Wednesday, people healed of asthma last Wednesday. Let's give God a hand. How many of you know they don't need us old people? All they need is the Holy Ghost. And so they're doing powerful stuff back there. Our kids are learning the Word of God. It's like a Sunday school class. It's called Kids Academy, and it is a phenomenal foundational teaching that is going to keep them throughout their lives. They need that. So if you have kids, grandkids, bring them. Whatever you need to do, neighbors, nieces, nephews, get them into the house of God so we can equip them to go out into this world. I mean, no, they need equipping. And we don't want the school to equip them, right? The church and the family needs to be equipping our children. The next thing, this Saturday coming up, if you are not a member of the Lighthouse, and we consider you all members, but if you want to be a voting member, we have a class that you would need to take, and that is once a year. So it's going to be this Saturday, January 28th at 10 a.m. right here. And if you don't know if you want to be a member, you can still come and just learn. We talk about our church doctrine, what we believe in. We talk about how to get involved in the ministry and the life of the church. So we encourage you to come and check that out. If you are a member and you just want a refresher, everyone's welcome. So Saturday at 10 a.m., come on out. And then our teenagers as well, they have Winterfest coming up. This is an annual event that our state puts on. And this year, it'll be February 4th at 10:30 a.m. in Eaton, Ohio. I don't know if I've ever been to Eaton. It's a little bit of a drive, but they're doing a service, which I promise you will be a powerful service because I know our district youth leaders. They are men and women of God, and they are praying over this service. And then after that, we're going to bribe the kids with snow tubing. So if you have people that don't want nothing to do with church, say, hey, come sit through the church service so you can go snow tubing, right? And we believe God can get a hold of them in that church service. So that'll be February 4th. There's a cost involved. See our teen pastors, Pastor Caleb and Leah, wave your hands. They will get you details and all set up. They're going to arrange some transportation. So parents, you don't have to go if you don't want to go. Just send your kids. They'll have a good time, and they'll learn about Jesus. What's the age? What's the youngest? Kids probably need to go with parents. Six and older are kids' pastors. I'm going to give our kids' pastors a hand. Taking responsibility for a bunch of 6-year-olds is a job, but they're willing to do it. So six and on up, you can go to Winterfest, see your youth pastors for details and for travel information. Parents, if you want to go, you're more than welcome. They will take as many chaperones as they can get, so that'll be a fun time. We have went a couple times. I typically like to go to the service. I don't typically like to go snow tubing because it's too cold for me. But if you like the cold, by all means, have a good time with our young people. And then, also for our teens, man, you guys are getting all the events. Our teens and kids, you guys are going to be busy. But on for our girls who are teenagers, on February 11th, our teen ministries is having a Galentine's. So it's Valentine's for gals. Galentine's. Everyone say Galentine's. Pretty sure they made up their own word, but we're going with it. Galentine's brunch at 9:30 a.m. At Sister Tammy Moorhart, wave your hand. So if you need an address, see this lady right here. She's in Findlay on Main Street, and she would love to have all you teen girls. If you don't go to this church, it's okay. If you go to this church and want to bring friends who don't go to this church, it's okay. So any teenager, you're welcome to come to that and see Pastor Leah for more details. Wave your hand again. And all of you gals, that's February 11th at 9:30 for brunch. Okay, I'm about halfway done, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, there's a lot. Now, for us adults, finally, us adults, there is a marriage conference. So if you are married or soon to be married and would like to go get some teaching, training, a little bit of help, because we all need a little bit of help, especially if you're married to Pastor Joe. Just kidding. But we will be there. February 24th, it starts at 7 p.m., and it goes over into February 25th, and it will be done by noon. That is going to take place in Belleville at Quality Inn and Suites, and there is a registration fee of $50, and then you can get your own room, or they have a group rate of $150, which is a room and the registration fee. So we have registered already. There is limited space for that group rate with the room and everything, so if you'd like to register, you can check it out on Facebook. It has been shared to our Facebook group. If you don't have Facebook, come see me, and I will hook you up. And then again, something for everybody, young, old, and between. In the month of February, we are collecting Bibles. They do not have to be brand new Bibles. Any used Bibles you have laying around, we're calling this love packages. And Sister Betty, wave your hand. I thought I just saw her. I swear she was just talking to me. Must have been in the spirit. I don't know. I thought she was up here. Everyone knows Sister Betty anyway. She's heading up this group. We will have a box, but they take it to a place where they send them overseas. So for people who do not have Bibles, and so they will take, it doesn't matter if you have pages missing, it doesn't matter if your covers are missing, how tore up they are, they just want the Word of God. That also includes any kind of commentary, Christian fiction books, children's story books that are biblical. Okay, we don't want to send them Jack and Jill. We want to send them Jesus, all right? So any kind of biblical foundational material, you can bring it in. So if it's just cluttering up your bookshelf, you're never going to look at it again, let's pass it on to somebody who will, and we're going to share the gospel overseas with that opportunity. Okay, two more. How many enjoyed the consecration time? Anybody participate in that through devotional or prayer or here Sunday mornings? Fabulous time. So our prayer team is going to continue to keep the church open from here on out until they feel that it's time to stop. And that's going to be from 5:30 a.m. until 7:15 a.m. So if you want to continue to come and pray, you're more than welcome to do that. You can come in or out. You can stay the whole time, 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. And I want to say, if you're not praying here, I sure hope you're still praying at home every day. We need to be connected to our source every day. So let's continue in that. And then my last email, our secretary wanted me to let you know she has sent out giving reports. So if you have financially supported the church, there's a report that you can use for your taxes. And if you have an email on file with us, it went to your email. So if you only check your email once a year, this is the time to check it. And if you do not have an email, she has a printed copy. She will get to you, and you can see her if you have any questions about that. And at this time, we have the lovely young Olivia coming with our call to worship. Give her a hand as she comes.
Good morning. So I'm going to be reading out of Romans. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12. What this verse tells us that our hearts should be full of joy because we have hope in Christ. When facing troubles, patient will prevent us from giving up before seeing our victory. Prayer is something that we can turn to in every situation, knowing God will answer our prayers. Let us stand and pray over the tithes and offerings. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can all come together and worship you. I ask you that you bless this tithes and offerings. Bless each person that can give and that can not give. Bless this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Glorify your name. I just worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
just to bring something massive worth that will bless your heart.
Congregation.
It's all about you.
His mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with string and pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord.
Are you Lord? hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
Sing that again.
And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is
I wanna speak
During the crucifixion of Jesus, Pontius looked at him and he said, "What is truth?" In John 8:31, it states, "If you continue in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus is the truth today. Do you know this truth? Do you know the word that you need to be free? The truth is Jesus Christ. If you need more of him, come to the altar today, because he is here wanting to give you more. He's wanting to fill you fresh and full of his truth. Come to the altar. Come to the altar and seek his truth, and you will be free indeed.
In the darkness, over every enemy, shout Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus.
Shout Jesus, hallelujah!
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the dark. Over every heart and every mind.
You're the only one who can. You're the only.
your mercy never failed me in all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so
your voices, lift your hands. giving praise. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing of your goodness, God. We sing of your goodness, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The 23rd Psalm says, surely, that means it's for a sure thing, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it's a sure thing that goodness and mercy is running after you. It's running after you. It's chasing you down. We sing another song, there's no shadow he won't light up. No mountain he won't climb up. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, those of us that have been caught by it, I'm going to say that again. Those of us that have been caught by it, we've been captured by him. We know surely, we know goodness and mercy is a person, right? Jesus. We've been captured by him. So what that means to us, those of us that have been captured by Jesus, is that everywhere we go, he leads us in the wonderful procession of his victory. And every place we have been, we leave behind us his goodness and his mercy. Listen, they're starting to get it over here, but you're not yet. Get a hold of this. Now that we've been captured by him, you know the Bible says he always causes us to triumph, right? Or that means that everywhere we go, he leads us in his triumphal entry. Because goodness and mercy, his grace rests upon us because he lives inside of us, right? So everywhere we go, we carry that with us, and there's a lingering aroma, just like the person who wears too much perfume and cologne.
Yes, yes.
You know when they've been in the room, right?
Yes.
They got that smell about them. We have that smell about us. So wherever we go, we leave goodness and mercy. It follows us. It follows us. It follows us. So all my life, even before he captured me, he was chasing me down. But now that he's captured me, his aroma lingers after I've been there. Not my smell, the smell of heaven. It rests on us. It rests on us. So let me ask you this. Why then would we keep it bottled up in this building? I don't care what your favorite perfume cologne is. You like to put it on. You ain't gonna keep it bottled up. You open the bottle, you put the smell good on, wherever you put it on, so that other people can smell it. Why then would we bottle up the fragrance of Jesus Christ and maintain it to a building? It is to be released. It is to be released into the earth. So listen to me. Some of you thought that the 21 days we just walked through were for you. Wrong. It wasn't for you. It's not for you. Now you feel good. You're closer to Jesus. You're in tune with his spirit. But it's not for you. It's for the world around us. Yeah. Because we've been pouring ourselves out like that alabaster box of oil, and it's filled up our room. That fragrance has filled up our room as we have become broken before the Lord and worshiped Him. But now it's time that we release that into the earth. And that's the whole point of why God is calling us to where He's been calling us. As we're beginning to see it on Wednesday night in our youth services. There's young people that are coming to Jesus all on their own. No one's coaxing them. No one's getting all emotional and say, hey, let's go up front and pray and let's make sure you cry and feel better. No, no, no. Young people are being born again. And I don't know if you grabbed this or not, but this is what God's doing. He's doing it like the first church. See, we have messed everything up with our progressions. With our religiosity of things. We just become so religious about stuff. So, you know, you got to get saved. Then you get water baptized. Then you can receive the Holy Spirit and have evidential language coming out of you, speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues, whatever you call that. It doesn't matter. So we put this progression. Do you know that young people are coming to church on Wednesday night for the very first time they've ever come here, and they're leaving talking in tongues? Because there's a people here that have decided to take the lid off of God. Get Him outside of the box and say, God, you do what you do. Not what we do, what you do. What you do. Not what we do, what you do. So here's my question. Me and Pastor Darius just agreed together. Now listen, it's going to happen. You know why? Because the Bible says only two of us touching one thing, if we agree, it shall be done. So it's going to happen. My question to you is, are you going to be a part of it? See, we believe, we came together and believe for unprecedented revival in this area. Like we've never seen before. So me and Pastor Darius, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. Are you going to join in? Or are you going to sit in your seat and come on Sunday morning and make it about you? There's a prophetic word that came over this church years ago about a revival that would come to us. Guess what it said? It would start with our young people. Could this be the hour? Could this be the hour? That's not up to God. We throw that on God all the time. That's not up to God, Paisley. That's up to me and you. That's up to me and you. Will we make this the hour that we see God's glory come in Cary, Ohio? See, I got a word, this conference I was just at, I got a word. A brother, he's a close friend of mine, but I haven't told him anything that God's been speaking to me. Nothing. It's a pastor friend of mine. He came up to me in a time of prayer, and he said, listen, right before, because he led us in prayer, he said, right before I went to lead you in prayer, God gave me a word for you. I want to share this word. It wasn't just for me. It was for this church, so I'm sharing it to you. He said, God's going to give you your city. Then he said this, God's going to give you your county. Then he said this, and God's going to give you your region. What he didn't know before the Holy Spirit revealed it to him is, I've been praying, God, give us Cary. But don't stop there. Give us Wyandotte County. But don't stop there. Give us the surrounding region of Northwest Ohio, God. Let it begin to pour out from us. Let us see your glory. Let us see your glory. Let us see your glory. Now, God doesn't just say stuff to make us happy. It does make us happy, but that's not why he says it. He says it to us because it's direction. That now we're supposed to go and do this. So just as we set our faith, that's what we've done for the past 21 days. We've set our faith. We've said, God, we are consecrating ourselves to you. We believe that we're doing that. These first 3 weeks belong to you. Now, here's my question to you. Will you let him have your life? Not just the first 3 weeks of your year. Will you give him 2023 and 2024 and 2025? Will you give him your life? Because he's given you his life. God's doing something in our midst right now. It's sovereign. It's holy. You need to understand that. This isn't happening everywhere. God wants it to happen everywhere. I was sharing with Sister Tricia, because she leads our prayer team, that when we went to the conference, you know what they preached about all week? I mean, all the services, everybody that got up, you know what they talked about? That Jesus said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. Imagine that. Imagine that. That's what they said constantly, over and over and over again. We got to get back to prayer. Pastor Randy Lawrence Jr., who is our national youth director, he got up and preached on digging ditches. Some of you have read that story in Kings, where God said to dig the ditches because they were thirsty, had no water, and they were in a desert place, and the next morning water showed up. And one of those ditches he said we needed to dig was consecration. Prayer and consecration. Prayer and consecration. We kept hearing it over and over and over and over again. And there was one speaker that led us in a prayer time that was very, very, very similar to what we've just done the past 3 weeks here in service. What he did. We opened up the scripture, we prayed. We prayed the scripture. He even said, your Bible's your prayer book. Sounds familiar, right? Been hearing all this already. But he said one thing that struck me and Pastor Alicia. And I'm saying this before I release you students, because you're going to go to your places this morning and you're going to just have a time with God. Because we've already begun to do it here. But this is what he said. He said, now what we just walked through, isn't this wonderful? And everybody in the room's like, oh yeah, this is amazing. You know, we just came together and prayed. He said, now listen to me. He said, you can't do this on a Sunday morning. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to set another side of time. And that's when you can begin to do these things, because the Sunday morning crowd's an old wineskin. And the wine that's in them is good, but it's just not the new wine that God wants to pour in you. So you have to first start this thing somewhere else and then let it slowly trickle and infiltrate into the church. And I said, wow, God, we did it on Sunday morning. And I didn't have anybody pitch a fit. I didn't have anybody tear their wineskin. I didn't have anybody start pouring out and being all mad and bubbling over. I said, what are you doing in us? God says, it's sovereign, because there's people there that want me more than anything else. You hear that? That's you. He said, I've already had begun to cut off the old wineskin and gave you a new one as you entered in to what you did on Sunday mornings. That tells me, church, that we're ahead of schedule compared to what God's doing in other places in his kingdom. You get this? This is a prophetic word coming forth right now. We are ahead of schedule. Everybody else is still trying to peel back the old wineskin, get renewed so they can receive the new wine, the new outpouring. God has already said, no, you've already got the new wineskin, and I'm already beginning to pour the new into you. That's incredible. That is truly the specific time that you use the word. That's awesome. Awe. It's full of awe and wonder, because God has showed up in our midst. Just sit there and let that come on you in your spirit for a minute. Let's not rush this. Understand the holy thing that God is doing in our midst right now. Wow.
thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst right now. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst right now, Father. We know it's you. It's not us. It's you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for this new outpouring, this fresh renewal. God, we set our hearts right now to not bottle this thing up and hold it in and contain it inside of a building. God, we set our hearts and our faith right now to be open, openness, to open up what you're giving us. Rivers of living water flowing out of us, touching our community, seeing hearts and lives transformed and changed. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father, right now. We thank you for your sovereign work you're doing in us, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you. Give God your gratitude right now. Give him your praise. That's going to help us continue on this thing. This isn't some short-lived, quick-burning thing. No. This is an internal fire that is burning in us, that's purifying us first, that will touch the world. This isn't a wildfire. This is strategic. I'm hearing that in the spirit right now. This is strategic in what God is doing. Not a just quick wildfire that's going to burn and burn up. God's doing something in our midst that's going to last. Thank you, Lord. Now give us the boldness to carry this. Give us the boldness to carry this glory, Lord. Give us the boldness that no matter what persecution comes, no matter what naysayers will say in attacking us, Lord, give us the boldness to speak forth your word and seal it with signs and wonders, miracles following, God. For your glory. For your glory. We don't care about the name Lighthouse being out there. We want the name of Jesus out there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Young people, I want you to carry this atmosphere with you. It's on you, so carry it with you. Go to your classes now. Go to your place of worship, children. If you haven't taken your kids to nursery yet, you can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm stirred, church. Stirred. I'm grateful to be pastoring a people who want God to move. I'm grateful to be pastoring a people who are more concerned about what God wants than what they want. I'm just going to share this with you. As we begin to prepare, God prepared mine and Alicia's heart first coming into this new year. He really began to prepare our hearts. Probably it was some point in October, I think it was, where I looked at Alicia and I said, this is crazy what I'm going to tell you, but I'm hearing God say to me to shut everything down. Shut it all down. Every program you're doing, everything that's going on, all down. And she's like, all down? What do you mean all down? I mean everything. Like, I'm hearing him say everything. She's like, well, what are we going to do with the kids? I said, we're going to stay in service with us. Are we going to have worship? I said, well, we'll praise God, but we ain't going to have anybody playing music or singing or nothing. We're shutting everything down. That's what I'm hearing God say. And she's like, how's that going to look? I said, I don't know how that's going to look. I said, I don't know what that's going to do to people. And God gave us wisdom and direction on how we needed to share that with you. And you all said, yes, let's do that. Now, today, we begin to see an expression of what God was doing in us during those first 3 weeks. But that isn't just a quick little, oh, let's praise God, hallelujah, wasn't that amazing? Now we're going to move on. No. This is the beginning. Get a hold of this. This is the beginning of something brand new in us. Just as we begin to see spontaneous praise break out amongst us when there was no music playing, listen to me, I'm prophesying this. We are going to begin to see spontaneous praise break out in our midst, even with music playing. You say, well, how's that going to work? I don't know, but God's going to do it. I also believe this, that God's going to begin to break out in spontaneous prayer through individuals as it falls on you, the burden in our midst. It will fall on you, and you will get up and begin to pray, and there'll be people in our midst that will join their faith with you, and we'll begin to see things happen. Now, I want you to hear this word, and I'm going to go into and preach a little bit, but I want you, if you can, I want you to begin to believe with me for this. I keep seeing this over and over and over in my mind's eye. I'm believing that no person will lay their hand on people and they will come into this building sick, afflicted in body, something very visible that's wrong with them. And in the presence of God Himself, as we come together, God is going to begin to do miracles and heal them. No person has to lay hands on them. No person touches them. Now, that doesn't mean I don't believe in the doctrine of laying on hands. I do that. We're going to continue to do that. But I want it to be so supernatural. Did you hear what I said earlier? I don't want the name of Lighthouse. I want the name of Jesus. I keep seeing this person in a wheelchair come in here in our service, in a wheelchair. And in the midst of our service, all of a sudden, they just get up and start walking. No one touches them. No one says anything to them. We're just praising God. We make room for Him. And He comes and sits on us, and He goes, oh, one of my children is lame. Get up and walk. Can I get some people to start believing that with me? I don't want my name out there. I don't want Lighthouse's name out there. I want the name of Jesus. I mean, how awesome would it be that this guy goes back to his family, or girl goes back to his family, her family, walking, pushing their wheelchair, and they say, what happened to you? I don't know. I showed up at this church in the middle of two cow farms because God told me to go there, and I was healed. Well, what's the pastor's name? I don't know. What's the name of the church? I don't know. All I know is Jesus was there. I'm not worried about our name getting out. I'm worried about the name of Jesus being lifted up. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's believe for the impossible. We serve a big God. We put too many limits on our God. If we begin to set the atmosphere here when we come together, when we leave this place, we're going to go forth in power, and it's going to be demonstrated in our lives. And that's what's going to change the world. God never meant for the church to be bottled up in a building. This is our rally time. This is our encouraging time. We come together. We cheer each other on. Hey, stay after it. Keep marching. Don't quit. Hold fast to your faith. This is what we're doing right now. And then when we leave this place, we go out and be the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. If you've been around here any time at all, you've heard us preach on this and teach on this and preach on this and teach on this, because this is our vision verse for this church. Now listen, I've been behaving myself lately. I mean, I think last week I preached, 10, 15 minutes? That was it, right? So don't think I'm going to quit doing that just because we've went back to a different order. I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit this morning, and here's the great thing about this. Stuff I'm going to begin to give you, I don't know when we're going to stop it. So I could preach on this all year. So I'm not in any hurry to get any of it out. So if I get one point this morning, that's fine, because we'll pick it up next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. But I need you to hear what God wants to say to this church as we move forward in this year. Because the time of consecration or separation or sanctification has come to an end. And that means now it's the time to integrate. Everybody say that word, integrate. It means that God has separated us. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we took time and stayed in that. We basked in that. You understand? But now it's time for us to take that light into the world. So the time of consecration is over. Remember last week I read to you out of the book of Joshua, and he said, sanctify yourselves, for on tomorrow I will do wonders among you. What did they do after they sanctified themselves? They went in and infiltrated the land and began to possess the promises God gave them. Now it's time for us to step up and go into the land and possess the promises God's given us. Doesn't matter what wall you come to. Some of you know the story. Where did they go first? Jericho. Anybody remember that song from, this always got me. I went to a public school, but we would sing the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. We'd sing it in music class. I thought, I know this. I know the story. I learned it in Sunday school. They went in there, and it didn't matter that there's this great big wall in their way. They just followed the glory, which was the Ark of the Covenant, and marched around it until it fell down. Are you ready to be patient? Are you ready to infiltrate and just march until you see the wall fall down? Just be obedient. Oh man, this is a word for somebody. Somebody wants to talk about something. You want to run your mouth about it because you're frustrated. You want to see God move and you want to just talk. But no, he said be silent and just march around it. Don't say a word. Just march around it. And not over and over and over again. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not rehearsing this thing in your mind over and over again. You're just going to go around it once a day. Take one trip a day. Don't say anything. And in your mind, you're just thinking, thank you, Jesus. This wall's coming down. One time a day. And then when he tells you, you'll release the sound. And when you release the sound under the anointing power of Jesus Christ, you're not going to say your words. You're going to say God's words. And the wall is going to fall into the ground. Because you were obedient. Now, it may take you more trips than it took them. It may take you less trips. When they started, they didn't know how many times they were going to do it. They just got up every morning, listened to what their leader told them to do, and they did it. That's a miracle in itself. I mean, come on. You have read about these people, right? Who just spent 40 years murmuring and complaining, walking around the wilderness. And all of a sudden, they supernaturally know how to keep their mouth shut. So don't tell me, I don't know, Pastor, I can't do that. You know, that's just not part of my personality. Let God do it in you. Maybe I'll get to this message this morning. Maybe I won't. You hearing me? You receive that word? Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19.
The Bible says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, those who are without. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed or bruised. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of Jubilee. Not because it is on the calendar day. It is because Jesus Christ is in our life. How could we not have a year of Jubilee? Every year, as we walk with Jesus. Now, you've heard us preach and teach, many of you have, over and over and over on this. But I want to first quickly back up. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to expound on it a little bit. I want to back up to what just happened in the life of Jesus before this takes place. You see, Jesus was called away by the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Possessing the power of God, possessing the Spirit of God, he had just been baptized. He has this aha moment where the man who's the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make your path straight, right? John the Baptist just proclaims, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, in our generation, we would say, now's the time. It has been pronounced. Here is the Messiah. Jesus, go do what you've come to do. But that's not what the Holy Ghost said. The Spirit of God says, now that that has been pronounced, go out into the wilderness, separate yourself, and fast and pray for 40 days. And while he's out there doing that, separating himself, consecrating himself, sanctifying himself, by the way, if the Son of God, deity in the flesh, needs to do it, I think we need to also. It is in that moment that the devil comes and tempts him. Now, how many of you, during this time of consecration, has had moments where the devil just jumped all over you? Why is that? Because we are separating ourselves unto God, preparing ourselves for what God has. And the enemy of our soul knows it and he's trying to stop it. So how did he overcome it? He just gave him the word every time. It is written. He spoke the word. He overcame. Now, I have news for you. Some of you think, then the devil left. But the Bible says that he left for a season. Now, we don't have record of it in the written scripture, but that does let us know that he came back time and time and time again, bothering Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. God in the flesh, Emmanuel with us. The devil tempted Jesus to sin. Why do we think we're not going to be tempted? Why? You know what? Maybe some of us need to change our viewpoint and be excited when temptation comes, because that just gives us another chance to get a hold of God and let him stomp on the devil's head. We're looking at it the wrong way, aren't we? Oh, it's been a mighty hard way. The devil's been on my back all week. Well, he's supposed to be under your foot. Y'all got real quiet on me this morning. When he comes, let's proclaim our victory by the word. So he goes through that time,
And it's not until after he goes through those 40 days and 40 nights that he says he leaves the wilderness in the power, not just in the presence, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. Now he's walking in the power. It's not just that the Spirit came on him in the form of a dove and it was on his life. Now he's not only walking with that on him, he's walking in the power of it. Because he's already proven that he can overcome the devil. So listen to me. If you made it these 21 days, you've overcome the devil. You've proven that God has given you the power to overcome the devil. So don't let anything stop you now. Don't let it stop you. You walk in the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he comes in this power. He finds a synagogue. I believe my memory serves me correctly, it was in Capernaum. He walks into this synagogue. They ask him to read the scripture that day. He picks up the scroll of Isaiah, not by happenstance, on purpose. He rolls that scroll open and finds the prophecy about him. And he begins to read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he stops. He rolls up the scroll. And they're wondering, well, we usually finish reading this part in Isaiah. Why is he stopping here? Because he had some other news he needed to proclaim to them that day. And after he rolled up the scroll, he sat down in the chair because that was their custom when they would begin to expound on the scripture. And this was his explanation of the scripture. Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Wait, there's not more? Y'all get mad at me because I'm too long-winded. Let's just listen to Jesus preach then. He's pretty short. He reads the scripture and said, here it is. Ta-da! This infuriated the people. Sacrilege. He's calling himself God. Yeah, because he is. Did you notice I said is, not was? He is God. He reads this. This is what he says. So then we know that his life is proof of this. He cast out a devil that day. They try to get rid of him. He passes through the midst. All these wonderful things begin to follow his ministry. And we know that he died on the cross for our sins, gave us his life blood, then resurrected by the Holy Spirit 3 days later, returned in his power, and then he had been teaching his disciples that he needed to go away because when he did, he could send back the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which not only would be on him, but now be on us and be poured out, right? He's teaching all these things and he ascends to heaven. He says, don't you go anywhere. Huh? He tells them to separate themselves. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. You stay here in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And 10 days later, boom. They're all in one place, in one mind, in one accord. They were seated, praising God, focused on him, awaiting. Now, we read this on this side of the happening and we talk about the wonderful expression and display of the signs and wonders that God did. But do you realize that they had no clue that was going to happen? They had no idea that there was going to come a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. They had no idea that split tongues of fire, split little things of fire would come and set upon each of their head. They had no idea. I don't even know that they had any idea that they would all begin to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them evidence. They were just waiting on the promise. And all of a sudden, this began to manifest before them. Now, You want to talk about a sovereign move of God, okay? What God's doing, because they had separated themselves. Now, some of you were here at the end of service last week, but I have to share this with you that weren't, because this was amazing. What I'm telling you that happened in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, it happened in this building last week. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, as Pastor Elisha began to pray, Daniel, who doesn't speak a lot of English, speaks Spanish, all of a sudden understood every word that Pastor Elisha was praying. Without an interpretation, the Holy Spirit began to interpret to him what she was praying. And this young man begins to weep before the Lord as the presence of God came upon him, just as it did in Acts 2, as they begin to speak in other tongues and it was noised abroad, and every person from their country understood the wonderful works of God that they were speaking. It was supernatural that took place, and it happened here last week. That's amazing to me. The proof of that it was God, is because when I began to speak again, he could only understand the words in English he knew. His father shows him this very passage, and he just begins to weep again, because God made himself real to him through this. Now, I'm saying all this to help you understand what God's doing in our midst right now. And this morning, I have one more thing I want to release in this message. I had to lay the foundation, because this is our vision scripture. We're talking about the vision of the lighthouse. The light part is our vision, right? We turn on the light so we can see. It's what God has spoken to me. Now, I'm going to give you some things that aren't in scripture, but they align with scripture, and they're specific to this church. Because as your pastor, I have to impart the vision that God's given us so that we can understand. You with me? So I want you to go to that picture for me, right here. I don't know why God does this, but he gives me acronyms. And I didn't even think about this until later, guys, but this, I guess this doesn't really work in Spanish, but you understand what's going on here because you don't spell the same way in Spanish. But God gives me acronyms all the time for stuff. Target, taking a real God experience to town. God gave me that years ago when I was youth pastor here. I don't know why, but that's what we do. When we go uptown in the summer, we're taking a real God experience with us, right in the middle of town. That's our target area, right in the middle of our village, so that everybody can know who Jesus is, the real God, right? Not some false God, the real God. And then several years later, as I was your pastor, he gave me the acronym HOUSE as our core values, how we conduct ourselves amongst each other: honor, openness, unity, service, and excellence. House. And it wasn't until last Sunday, as Daniel is hearing God speak to him through Pastor Elisha while she prays and understanding everything she's praying, God began to download this to my heart. And I saw the word light, and I heard him say, living in God's holy temple. Living in God's holy temple. This is our vision. The other parts are core value, how we conduct ourselves among ourselves and how we conduct ourselves towards others. But this part is what is going to make the difference so that we can shine the light. Living in God's holy temple. You see, you think that this is the temple. No, this is not the temple. This is the temple. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And what you join your body to, you are bringing into God's presence. See, I told you God was going to do a new thing in an old way and do an old thing in a new way. And one thing that we have always had here at this church is the preaching of holiness. You with me? And before we can ever go and shine the light out into the dark world like God's called us to do, we need to make sure that we are living in God's holy temple the way that we are supposed to be. Your body is holy. That means your eyes. That means your ears. That means your mouth. That means your hands. That means your feet. What you do, where you go, what you see, what you say, what you hear, you're holy. And while I am so thankful for God's grace and His mercy, we cannot preach this greasy grace to the point where we have forgotten that we serve a holy God. So therefore, be ye holy because He is holy. We must live in this holy temple. I'm not trying to condemn you this morning, but I am believing that the Holy Spirit's going to convince you this morning of the things that have been holding you back because you have allowed things to enter your eyes, enter your ears, come out of your mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? You've went places that you didn't need to go. You've done things you didn't need to do. And you say, well, you know, God's okay with that. It's not a sin. No, it's not a sin. But it's a hindrance to you. All things are lawful, but not everything is expedient. That's what Paul told the church. And so here's my question to you. Are you serious? Are you really serious about wanting to see this unprecedented revival? It starts with us. And we think, yeah, us, we need to have good church services. They need to be lively. You know, we got to have things bumping like this morning when we just begin to praise God and everybody lifted their voice. That's what, no. Here. Us. You see, you want to see God's glory in here, then you got to get this right. You want to see God's glory in your home, you got to get this right. Living in God's holy temple. Living. I'm going to break this down in the next few weeks. I'm going to break it all down. I'm going to go through this. I got all kinds of stuff that God's been just pouring into me. I'm going to share it with you. The vision, the purpose of why God has joined us together as a body of believers. But it starts in our personal lives. We used to sing a song, Lord, send revival and let it start in me. What we need most is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is free. Here's my cup, Lord, fill it up as full as it can be. Lord, send revival and let it start in me. The me wasn't the church house. The me was the individual person who was hungry for God. Maybe we need to sing that song again. The psalmist asked the question, wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice? You see, revival is not good church services. You know what the earmark of revival is? When sinners are coming to repentance and being born again. It's not even miracles. Signs and wonders among us. That's just letting us know that God's confirming His word. But the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. That's the earmark. We're seeing trickles of it. Seeing trickles. Seeing young people come to Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not in revival yet. How many of you that can think back and remember this, and this is just to, if you've never experienced this before, this is to spur your heart and pray for it. But how many remember the day when people would run? Not just like, okay, I think I feel God tugging at my heart. No, they would run down the aisles. They didn't need anybody to lead them. Now, pray this prayer with me. No. They didn't need that. They would run down the aisles, fall on their knees in their face and say, God, forgive me. I am a sinner, unclean. God, come into my life and forgive me. They would cry out to God. That's revival. That's what I want to see. Is that what you want to see? Then you have to live it. You have to live it. living in God's holy temple. You have to live it. You see, we just consecrated ourselves, sanctified ourselves so that we could live it. But if we drop all of that and say, wasn't that a good time? And go back to our routines that God has delivered us from. You didn't even know you needed delivered from it. You didn't know how many hours you spent scrolling. And you needed deliverance from it. Well, Pastor, there's no sin in that. No. But it ate your time away. God said, redeem the time. Get it back. God's delivering us from things. Oh, they're not evil, heinous, ugly sins. But he's wooing our heart back to him, where our desire is not to feed what feels good to our flesh, but to feed our spirit so that we walk in the spirit, living in God's holy temple. And it all starts with prayer. So if you thought that we were done praying, sorry. That was just to start something in us, to get us back on track. Who knows? We might come in here on some Sunday, even have the worship team and all that, and all of a sudden we just pray. And if I don't get to preach, I don't care. I'm telling you, I'm done. Listen to me. I'm done trying to do church the way we know it. It's not working. It's not working. You say, well, we have a good time. Yeah, because it's all about us. It's selfish Christianity. It doesn't produce anything. I've been telling Alicia this for a long time. I think I've even said it a few times preaching, but do you know we're gluttons for the word? We've gotten so fat on the word of God that now, because we've eaten the manna so much, that unless it is something new, come on, some new revelation. I heard that before. We don't want it. We're like the children of Israel. We decide to spit it out, and we're like, can't we have some meat? The bread's what sustains us. It's the bread of life, church. The bread of life. I mean, think about this. There are people who hear Jesus Christ being preached, his blood being spilled on Calvary's hill, him being nailed to the cross and dying, the crown of thorns shoved on his head, and they go, heard that before. Are you kidding me? That's how you're going to treat the cross? That's how we're going to treat the cross? How irreverent of us. We're talking about the great sacrifice that our Savior made for us. And we're going to go, oh, I heard that before. No, when we hear the preaching of the cross, when we hear the mention of the cross, oh, it should stir something in us. Thank you, Jesus. That was me that was nailed to that thing. That was me. But we heard preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching so much we've become immune to it. It's like we think we can just pick and choose what we want. I've been saying this for a couple years now. I don't want some new revelation. I'm good with the old one. Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to shine the light of Jesus. So here's what I need to do this morning, and I'm just going to follow the leading of the Spirit and thank you all that have prepared things to eat. We will get to that. But I think there's some spiritual food we need first. You good with that? If stuff gets burnt, it gets burnt. We'll pray over it. It'll taste good. So we're not going to rush through this. But we're going to do everything in decency and in order as the Holy Spirit directs us. So there was
just so you know this, I already shared this with Pastor Alicia. She doesn't know what I'm going to do because I didn't want to taint it. But all weekend long, in my mind's eye, it's the only way I can explain it to you. I'm not one of those super spiritual people that, oh, I had a vision, God, you know me. I'm not like that. But in my mind's eye, I kept seeing things happen over and over and over again while I was gone in Indianapolis this weekend. I'd go to prayer in the meetings that we were in. I would hear these guys preaching, and I would just see this thing happening over and over and over again. So I'm just going to relay it to you, and we're going to see it happen. You guys good with that? So one thing that they said that just hammered my heart was this. They made the statement, and they used the word mission and evangelism interchangeably. So I'm going to do it too because I want you to get this. They said that when mission marries prayer, they will give birth to awakening. Now, note takers, write that down because this is important. When mission or evangelism marries prayer, they will give birth to awakening. What's awakening? Revival. Okay, that's what we're talking about this morning. Revival, right? We want to see an awakening, an unprecedented one. Now, I didn't even tell Pastor Darius that. He came to me and said, let's believe for it. I said, yeah, this is already in my heart. When mission or evangelism marries prayer, they will give birth to awakening. Now, we sometimes use the word mission. We sometimes use the word evangelism. But what we call it around here is outreach. So I'm going to say it again because I think some of you might start getting it. When outreach marries prayer, they will give birth to awakening. Now, this is what amazes me. God sometimes does something in the physical realm to display what he's doing in the spiritual realm. And our outreach leader, his name is Ryan Klaus. He is married to our prayer leader, Trisha Klaus. If they said it one time, they said it 100 times, didn't they? This weekend. When mission marries prayer, they will birth awakening. And I sat there, come up here, you two. Come up right in front of me. We're going to pretend like it's your wedding day again. Right up here, right? Everybody can see you. Hold each other's hands like you like each other. Yeah, you can do that way. Yeah. When mission outreach marries prayer, they give birth to awakening. What were they trying to get across? You see, we do outreach all the time. And we sprinkle a little prayer in. But it's not married. It's not married. We tell God our plans and ask him to bless it. We come up with our programs and say, okay, God, this is what we're doing. God's going, thanks for asking. How many of you ever had a teenager come and tell you what they're going to do? Right? How many of you really like that? Like that just, oh, man. They come and say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I'm going to such and such. Oh, really? You're going there, huh? Listen, that was one thing my dad couldn't stand. There's times he said, no, you're not. Just because I told him what I was doing. He's our heavenly father. And we tell him what we're going to do. See, we got it backwards, church. And in 2023,
We're starting to get it right. We're starting to get it right. What did we start the very first week with? Prayer. Prayer. Get a hold of this. Prayer is the basis for everything we're doing in this year. And it's going to be for the rest of the time that I'm pastor here. So when outreach, mission, evangelism, whatever you want to call it, marries prayer, not just sprinkling prayer in, not just having a contact of prayer, not just saying, hey, how you doing, prayer? You know, we've planned this whole event. We might want to think about praying about it now. I mean, how many times have we done that around here? We plan event after event and event, and then we call Trisha up and say, hey, you know, would you set something up so we can pray about this? You laugh because you know it's the truth. Sprinkle a little prayer in here. No, prayer's the main ingredient. Prayer is the main ingredient. We can't go until we pray. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere. Just pray, because the promise is coming. Now, that was after he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's my command to you. But before you go, pray. When prayer marries outreach and outreach marries prayer, they will become one and give birth to revival. All weekend I've seen you two. I'm sick of looking at your faces. I'm just teasing. I'm serious. Every time I close my eyes, I'd see you two standing there joined together. I thought, wow, God. Because I kept saying it over and over again. Like, we have this example in front of us. Now get this. We in our society have compartmentalized things so much. You understand what I mean? We've compartmentalized things so much. Like, when's the last time you just got to go to your general practitioner doctor and they actually could do something for you? Right? You go there so they can send you to a specialist, because general practitioners don't do anything for you anymore except refer you and charge you a big bill. Right? We're a specialized society. We don't have mechanics anymore. We have transmission specialists. We have brake repair. We have oil changers. Come on, get a hold of this. Everything's specialized. And we've brought that concept into the church. And you all think, well, yeah, prayer is important, and that's why pastors ask someone to be the prayer leader, because they're the ones that do the praying. Wrong. We all pray. Prayer leaders lead us, everyone say us, in prayer. Outreach leaders lead us, everyone say us, in reaching the lost. It's not their job. They're not the specialized people. That's why, you know, I'm not knocking churches for this, but God distinctly said this to me when we started this thing. Do not call them your intercessors. He said that, don't call them your intercessors. And I know a lot of churches do that, and that's fine. But the reason being is because now they think those are the people that intercede. So I'm going to give all my prayer requests to Trisha because she's going to intercede for my family. Are you kidding me? You're supposed to intercede for your family. You're supposed to intercede for your friends. You're supposed to intercede for your country. You're supposed to intercede for your workplace. You're supposed to intercede for your church and the members of your church, the people you come together. You're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray. We come together and pray. And we're supposed to do the work of the evangelist. Even the pastor, Paul told Timothy the pastor, do the work of the evangelist. And so what we're going to do in 2023 is we're going to marry prayer and evangelism so that we can give birth to an awakening. You guys ready? You don't want to get pregnant, do you? Like in the natural, I'm asking. No, okay. Because we got to be careful how we pray here. All things are possible with God. Go ahead and roll your eyes at me. Ask that woman back there. I gave her a word one time. I thought it was spiritual. She got pregnant with a baby. Didn't you, Natalie? Three times over. Some of you don't know that. That's the truth. I thought I was just speaking a prophetic word to her spiritually. I said, God's opening your womb. And she got pregnant three more times. It's just the truth. Yeah, I know you've had a hysterectomy, but God can have you get pregnant. So we're going to pray specific here. Unless you want to get it pregnant. That's why I'm asking. Just do awakenings? Yeah, but we might have a child called awakening. Say, why you joke around, Pastor? Because I'm trying to lighten you up a little bit so you won't think about stuff so much and just believe God. We get our brains in the way. Start focusing on stuff. Oh, God, like we got to make it happen. No, God's going to do this. We're just joining it together. You see, this is what God showed me this morning. We got Mary, who wants to sit at the feet of Jesus, bask in his presence. And we have Martha, who's busy, 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 because we got to go get people. We got to reach people. We got to get everything ready for people. Don't these two kind of exemplify that in their own lives? You look just like Martha, don't you? Look, I'm just being serious with you. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm just being serious with you. We're in here this morning praying. I look back there. He's coming out of the maintenance room, making sure these boys are shoveling, walking, doing it. He's a Martha. Martha. He's busy. He wants to reach out to the community. It's a burden on his heart. Now get this, church. Get a hold of this. So these two butt heads sometimes. Because it's a marriage. This one doesn't understand this one, and this one doesn't understand this one, because this one says just what, like, all we need to do is sit at the feet of Jesus. And this one's like, oh, that's not all we need to do. There's things that must get done. The truth is that when they become married, they become one. And there's times where evangelism is going to spur prayer and say, hey, you got to get out of the church house. You want to come to church? That's great. You're going to have meetings every morning? That's great. What about going and praying somewhere else? This is what the guy said. He said he would go down to the area of his city. The guy was preaching. His name was Joe Oden. He would go down to his city where the gay bars were, where all the drug dealers were, where all the prostitutes were. He would take the prayer team with him. He would take the worship team with him. And he would tell the prayer team, now just pray. You don't got to say a word to anybody, just pray. He would tell the worship team, now let's just begin to worship and praise God. And they would do that. They would pray and worship, which go hand in hand in prayer, really, right? We learned that these past 3 weeks. We start prayer with worship and praise until they could feel a tangible presence fall. Well, that messes with some of your theology, right? Because you're outside of bars or in bars. No, though I make my bed in hell, you are with me. That's what the scripture says. You want to argue with God. they would go show up and bring a real God experience to their town. In the midst of their town and heart. Don't you think that that's pretty strategic? We're right in between the VFW, the American Legion, and across from the R Bar. And the city built us a gazebo so we could go up there and even have cover when it's raining. See, they become one. So evangelism spurs prayer to get out of the church, and prayer spurs evangelism to say, no, don't get too much in a hurry. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. But if we're not carrying the presence with us, we're going on our own. Well, I'm anointed. Yeah, you're anointed, but you've stepped out of the unity of the Spirit. And so for this to work, they must be married. Are you willing to join evangelism until death do you part? You do. Are you willing to join prayer until death do you part? They, as the leaders of your church, have just said yes to being married to one another. Now, will you join prayer and evangelism till death do you part? Are we going to become one in this? Oneness, openness, oneness, coming together and saying, God, what you want. What you want, God. We're not going to move until you tell us to move. We will sit at your feet until you tell us to go. And when we go, we're taking prayer with us. We want to see an awakening. These two are going to come together in our church, and we're going to see it birthed in our community, in our village, in our city, in our county, and in our region. That's the word of the Lord. That's what God spoke to us. So let's get pregnant. Let's get pregnant spiritually. I know people use this kind of stuff all the time. They get kooky and crazy, flaky and fruity in church. But I'm serious about this. I'm not doing fruity, flaky stuff. We're not going to have people fall out in the Spirit and give birth to. Lord Jesus, help us. No. We're talking about a spiritual thing here. God's going to place something in us. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow us. And the thing that is placed inside of us is going to be called the Son of God. We're going to carry him full term and give birth to him, and a Savior will come to the world. Because we are his church. We are his bride. If you believe this, and you really want to commit this, and I'm telling you, you're standing before God. So he knows. You ain't making this commitment to me. You're making it to God. And what I want you to do is I want you to stand to your feet. I don't want anybody coming down here. I just want you to stand to your feet and reach your hand this way and say, yes, God, I say yes to this. I say yes to this. We're going to get spiritually pregnant as we join evangelism and prayer together. Prayer and evangelism. Evangelism and prayer. And prayer and evangelism. And it's going to be so intertwined, we can't tell the difference between the two at times. I want you to reach your hands this way, and we're just going to proclaim new birth and awakening right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, spiritually we impart your word to come to pass right now. As these two stand in representation of our church, this is our church. This is us before you, a visual that we can see, God. And as we have married prayer to evangelism and evangelism to prayer, we will get pregnant in the Spirit with your word. And your word will go forth It will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish what you send it to do. And we will see new births, babes in Christ coming to you, being saved, being delivered, being set free from the bondage of sin, from the grip of death. We see life come into our community right now. Revival and awakening come to us as we join ourselves together as one God right now in holy matrimony. They are married together. They cannot be separated. We cannot do evangelism without prayer. We cannot pray without being stirred to go tell people about Jesus. We receive your spirit. We receive your impartation right now. God, we will carry this thing full term. We will not abort it because it gets too hard. We will not abort it because it becomes uncomfortable. We will not miscarry your word, Lord, but we will carry it with honor and we will see your word come to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Now, this is what we're going to do. Those of you that have someone on your heart that you know needs Jesus, I've committed to the next 4 months that every time we have service, we're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray for the lost. We're going to do something visual in this. I don't know yet, but we're going to pray for the lost. And we're going to pray together and do it. Now, these two are representations of you, but now I'm going to ask you to come forward if you have a person on your heart that you want to see get saved. Come on, everybody's gathered around. We're going to join together. We're going to believe God for these people. We're going to believe God for these people. Deliverance is coming to their life. Salvation's coming to their life. Come on, press in. Get close. We're all family. Press in. We're going to join together in faith. We're joining together in faith. We're going to see salvation. Ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I just heard this. Household salvations. Wow. Household salvations. There's a new compassion coming on you for addicts. You have a heart for them, but at times you've grown impatient with people. God said there's a new compassion coming on you for addicts, and you, what you have seen in previous days will not compare to what God's going to do through you in this new season. Because you were faithful and you fought the good fight of faith, devil tried to take you out. Me and you know what I'm talking about. But you wouldn't let it happen. So there's a new compassion falling on you. You're going to remember things you didn't remember before. And you're going to be like, God, why are you bringing this? It's going to be for compassion. When you have those thoughts come to you, brother, okay? Don't dismiss it. Ask him, now who do I need to go pray for? When you have that thought, who do I need to go pray for? Who do I need to reach out to? That's for some other people in here too. He's just representation in our church. Y'all know Scott's story. If you don't, sit down, he'll tell you what God did for him. Jesus. Jesus. Salvation. Salvation's coming to people's lives because we're marrying. We've married. I'm going to change my language on that. We've already married. You saw it. We did it. We married them. They renewed their vows this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to do two things. We're going to call their names out. I'm not going to call names out because I have a microphone. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed or anything like that. But you're going to call their names out. You're going to call people's names out. You're going to pray for them. And then, this is where we miss it, so pay attention. Then we're going to pray for laborers. We always want to pray for the lost because we want our will done. We want people saved. But we always forget that Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers to reap the harvest, right? So we're also going to, by faith, pray for people to reach into their lives. And some of you are going to have to humble yourselves and submit to the fact that that can't be you, because you have lost your audience with this person. Although you carry a burden for them, you've lost your audience with them. So God's going to send somebody else. Doesn't matter how hard they run. See, God just ties everything together. Doesn't matter how hard they run. Surely mercy, grace, and goodness is following them all the days of their life. Chasing after them. Doesn't matter how far they run, they turn right around and there he is. Let's pray for him right now. Father, you see every heart that's here. You see every burden. We call their name out right now. Begin to call their name out. We call these people out before you right now. You see their lives. You see what's going on. Lord, you see our hearts of compassion and love for them, Lord. God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would draw them unto you. Reveal your holy child Jesus to them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself to them. Reveal your goodness, for you said it is the goodness of God that will lead to repentance. Reveal your goodness to them right now, Jesus. Reveal your power. Reveal your authority. Reveal your love, Lord, and change their hearts. We call prodigals to come home right now. We call prodigals to come home. We proclaim lost sheep will be found. They will be found right now in the name of Jesus. We know, Holy Spirit, that you're wooing them unto you by your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And your love will be evident in them. Now, God, we know that things will get worse at times. So we don't look at the outward appearance. We're not looking at what's going on. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we hold fast to our faith without wavering, believing that you are hearing our prayers right now. And you're moving in these people's lives. We give them to you right now, Jesus. Now, Father, just as we have prayed for the lost, we pray for laborers now. Send forth your church to reap the harvest. Start with us, God. Even though it may be people we don't know, let us be the people that go forth for the other people who are praying for that person. Let us be the stand-in for them that no longer have an audience. And as we do that, God, the people that we do not have an audience with, Lord, you send people in their pathway. You send laborers to reap your harvest, God. Speak through your church. Speak through your church, God. God, I pray that you would forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for our complacency. Forgive us that we've lost our compassion and love for the lost. We come together right now as your church and we turn away from that sin. I turn away from it right now. Tell him, I turn away from that right now. I repent of that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're giving me a burden for lost souls like I've never had before. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you that you've heard our prayers. Your word says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And we're going to do that. But we thank you that you're hearing our prayers. We thank you that you're answering them.
Not in our timing, God, but in your timing. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stay right here just for a minute. I want to give you a testimony. My heart is so full of joy. It's been rejoicing since Wednesday night. And this is why. Heart's desire for every parent that's a Christian is that their children would come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My oldest daughter, I don't mean to embarrass her, but I just have to share this testimony. I contemplated this and the Holy Spirit said, now's the time. Because it's to stir your faith. Stir your faith. When she was a child, God would speak to her. I mean, there was one time we were at a football game. See, there's no secular activity. There's no secular activity, church. Wherever you are the church. And she's this little girl, and we're at a football game, and all of a sudden she turns to me, she says, Dad, we need to pray. We need to pray right now. She could hardly say the words. That's how young she was. She said, Dad, pray. I said, for who? She said, we need to pray. So God, and I started praying. I thought it was going to be something on the field. You know, we're at a football game, and it's contact sport. It wasn't, what, 5 minutes maybe, tops, after that all of a sudden there was a ruckus in the visiting stands, and some young man had a seizure in the stands. And the squad that was there to help protect the football players had to run over there and take care of this young man that had a seizure in the stands. Now, my daughter was so sensitive to that, I mean, embarrassed me and her mom. We didn't know that was happening, but she did. She knew it before it was going to happen. She had us pray. She would come and share with us the things that God was speaking to her. And then the enemy attacked her. She went through all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to say it like it was. She went through hell, personally. Thoughts in her mind, things that were just not of God. We began to pray. We didn't understand. We've raised this girl in church. We've tried, you know, done our best, whatever. He began to tell us that she didn't even know that if she believed that there was a God. And this is what we did. We didn't beat her up. Listen to me, parents. We didn't beat her up. We didn't tell her how stupid she was. No. We just said, do us a favor. Don't stop searching. All the questions you're asking are completely fine. Just don't stop searching. Guess what? Wednesday, she came back to Jesus. Here she comes walking in right now. Don't turn and look at her. Didn't happen in my timing. But God's faithful. God's faithful. You hear me? God's faithful. Battles aren't over. We have more to face. We all do. But God's faithful. We're going to keep praying for the lost, church. We're going to pray for our family members, church. We're going to see God move, church, because we have married prayer to evangelism and evangelism to prayer. Amen? You believe with me? Praise God. Are you excited? I'm excited. I'm excited what we're going to see God do. I'm so excited. This is just the beginning. We don't know what church is going to look like. Y'all better not miss Sundays. Y'all better not miss Wednesdays. We don't know what God's going to do. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time today in your presence. And God, we don't leave your presence. You're with us wherever we go. We thank you for the quickening presence you give us, Lord. We thank you for your manifest presence that we have felt here this day. God, I pray that you'll continue to help us to walk in a place with you of closeness, that we know you're near. And in those times where it feels like we're in a desert place, help us to know that our faith and your grace is sufficient. And we hold fast to that, Lord. I thank you for every family that's represented here, every home. We speak blessing over that home. We proclaim it. We hide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as we do that, Lord, we know that not even the plague can come nigh our doorstep. We hide in you, Lord. We speak prosperity, not just monetarily, God, prosperity of our souls over every home and every family. We give you thanks for all that you're doing in us. We thank you for revival. In Jesus' name, amen. I think, sister, you got something? Hallelujah.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
Coming,
yeah. Yeah. Amen. It
that's
is.
What I really bring it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're going to start seeing it. We're going to start seeing.
Here.
Yep. It's here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Shekinah glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you guys find a seat? And I think Sister Tracy has something she has to share.
How about our pastors, right? What about a boldness to say, after doing this for 10 years, we're just going to say, let's do it different. Right? Isn't that great? I just wanted to let our pastors know how much we honestly do appreciate everything that you guys do for us. We know that your sacrifices are daily, and they're great. And we don't want you to think that, sorry, that they go unnoticed. It doesn't go unnoticed. I don't know that there are, honestly are words to say how much we truly do appreciate you. And the thing is, when you started saying, you know, we're going to start doing some things a little bit different, you know, I, like a lot of people, were like, what does that mean? What in the world does this mean? But I am thankful, along with Joe and Alicia, that we have a congregation of people that say, yeah, that's okay. Let's do it. Let's do it a little different. I think that that's great. And that really goes to excellent leadership. It really does, because if we didn't have great leaders, people would be falling off everywhere. People would just be like, I don't know what we're doing. I'm just going to have to do something else. I don't know. I don't know what this is. But it shows that we have great leaders, and I'm really thankful for that. And I just wanted to say, happy 10-year anniversary. I think it's great. I think it's great. It feels like I was talking to Betty a while back, a few months ago, and I was like, they've only been doing this for 10 years? Because I've been here for almost 8. So, like, I didn't realize that you guys were super new. When I started coming here, I don't know. But I think it's, I just think it's great, and we wanted to recognize, it's a big day. It's a big day. It's an honor for us to be with you guys after this long. And I wanted to let you know that we did take up a collection for a gift for you guys. Gifts are spiritual. Hear me. Gifts are spiritual. They are. And so we did take up a collection for you guys, and it is in your box back there with some other cards that people have put together for you guys. But we wanted to help you guys to go on your cruise. We wanted to help you guys to and be able to enjoy that time with each other and with, I know there's some other people from the church that are going. And I think it's good sometimes to send you away to relax. But we also figured, you know, we're going to send you out to sea so you could be the light. So you can be the lighthouse out there. I just wanted to also give a little bit of information. I guess we're going to need a little bit of help, maybe a lot, moving some tables and chairs. There are some people that are going to be back there kind of giving some direction. for chair changing and table setup. So if there's some husky people that will just head back to the back in a few minutes here and grab a couple of tables and bring them out, some of the ladies will show you where they go. And then we just asked, Joe was long-winded today. He kind of said he wasn't going to be, but, you know, it's been a little bit. So I'm just kidding. So I'm just joking. But we will need just a few minutes to set up. So if you guys will just fellowship amongst yourselves while we just open some things and put some things out, we would greatly appreciate it. All right. In a little bit here, probably just a few minutes or so, we'll get someone to pray over our food, and we will let our pastors and their family, and that includes Sister Karen and Brother Turner, if he's still here, we'll let those people go first, and then we'll let some of our elders follow along behind them, and then everyone else will just file in behind them, all right? Thank you all.